The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. All proudly brought to you by BetMGM. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin, ladies and gentlemen, producer number nine. So much more than a producer.
What's up?
Still to come, Matt Brown. I don't know what's happening to him. Bought himself some new Vans, so he's very happy.
Yeah, I spilled coffee on him immediately. That's what I was showing you.
Of course you did.
You and I have talked about how we get like a shipment of Vans just annually.
Just buy new ones.
Right, because you can't keep them clean. I like them. They're kind of cheap,
cheapish,
right?
Yeah.
But like, I got white ones, of course. They came in yesterday. I spilled coffee on them this morning immediately.
Day one. Matt Brown's going to join us, talk NFL with us as well. Adam Burke on the NFL. Football. And we haven't heard from Kelly Bidlin and his thoughts on football, so we'll get to those momentarily. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Oh, by the way, Paul Carr on Global Football. Got to get some Premier League picks in as well. Mike Zhang on Twitter. I just finished this week's Megapod. Finally, Gil pimp slapped Todd for getting out of line on this pod.
Oh, did you? I usually hear most of it downstairs. I didn't. I must have missed that.
I didn't physically do anything.
Well, I know. I know that.
I know. I'll always scream it at the dude.
I was gonna say,
I don't know why
the way that tweet came in. I thought you like kicked him out of the studio or something.
I think I've been harsher before.
Okay.
I don't know if you know this, but he has an interrupting problem.
Yeah. No. Yeah. I'm aware.
It's like, can you let the guest talk? John Burgo. DraftKings moved both of your tennis plays immediately after you released them. LOL, John Burgo. Didn't I do that? This is from...
Boom.
This is from, let's see, Russell Smith just got Djokovic minus 103 to win the Australian Open. Good on you. Let's see. This is from Sam Ginsberg. When Dr. Bob said he's a numbers guy, not a word guy, reminded me of the old joke in the Boston supermarket with the woman in the 10-item or less line with 30 items. Guy behind her says, either you went to Harvard and can't count or MIT and can't read. Thank you, Sam Ginsberg. Everybody's telling jokes now on Twitter. This is from Dale Bob. Along the lines of the Mike Tomlin never having a losing season matter, which I had never heard before, do you know that Andy Reid has an amazing win-loss record coming off a bye? I just heard that for the first time. That's the other one. That's a great
that
one.
That is a good one, yes.
That one's been going for years.
Thank you for bringing that up. Yes. That is a good one. You're
right. We had not
mentioned that. That's been going for a decade.
Angriest guy in New Jersey does not appreciate Bob's thoroughness. Let me just leave it at that.
Yeah, you can leave it at that. Yeah, I got about six other tweets on it, yeah.
Ryan Hyatt, quote, all right, Bob, real quick, 20-second answer to this. When Gil asks the impossible of Dr. Bob. Al Giannis, oh, Gilly, good catch. I don't think you want to be the Jared of anything. Yeah, no, that's true. Jason H11.
That's my fault. I'm gonna say that's my fault because I said that during a break yesterday. I think it got stuck
it
in your head.
It seeped into my head. That I stupidly just regurgitated it.
Yep.
Let's see. Oh, it's not juice if you win. Whatever happened to primetime action? Show was great, but I moved states. Didn't know you guys didn't do it anymore.
Yeah, rest in peace.
R.I.P.
R.I.P.
Pour out a 40 for primetime action.
Yeah.
DRS-1.
Had to make some lineup shifts.
Let me just say this.
It's a good time.
I have never. Can I just have a moment of seriousness?
Yeah.
I have never had more fun doing a show than
me either.
We did. We every night we got in there, it was a blast.
Yep. Yeah. Even nights when there was nothing going on sports-wise,
we
right?
Just had
like,
a ball.
We still had a great time.
We let each other make bets during the show. It's a phenomenal thing.
Oh, the chemistry of that, I will challenge any show on the planet of the knowledge of when someone's eyeing a live bet and then has to pick up their cell phone, and because we're in Vegas, it takes a whole like 8 minutes to get a live bet in, and that person's going through app after app after app. The chemistry that we had when one of us picked up a phone that the other two knew just to talk to each other, I'll challenge that.
It's a beautiful thing. Angriest guy. Where's my pro tip jingle? Have to give me time to grab my pad and pencil. Sorry. Pro tip. You're lucky I didn't sing the Bobby Brown earlier. I was going to totally sing that tweet. It's an awesome tweet. All right, Kelly, we haven't heard from you. I know we've heard from me about these games. Oh, by the way, before we get to football, because I know you're a basketball guy, Celtics beat the Warriors last night 121-118 in overtime. In a game that I know you were recording Hardwood Handicappers with JVT while it was going on.
Yeah, I did a Hardwood Handicappers, which is out now. Go check it out. JVT and I recorded last night while that game was going on, or while it was wrapping up. I did have a small position pregame on the Celtics, So that's dunk. But I had a live in-game position. Oh, so, of course, the in the middle of hardwood handicappers, you might hear me doing live play-by-play of some of the remaining minutes of overtime.
Well, here's – and I come from a Warriors perspective, so, again, know where I'm coming from. But it's funny that the Celtics, they won this game, and so people are like, oh, there it is, the Warriors, they got to get their act together. And it's funny, to me, I'm like, I still feel like there's this little bit of ownage, even with the loss.
Because, oh, I think so, too.
Because it's like, the Warriors still, by the way, they were down like 7 in overtime at one point. You're like, well, the Celtics are going to win this going away. And then they still managed to like almost have a shot at it.
That's what I thought. I was going to get bailed out of my pregame cover by the go to overtime and still cover 6. What was with that? The Horford foul call. What, I guess he was in his landing space, I guess.
I believe Al Horford grazed who was it, Wiggins? With the tip of his fourth finger, yes, I believe.
So is that what – I didn't have the audio on because I was recording.
So they challenged us.
So it wasn't a landing space?
No. He grazed –
he didn't touch the guy.
He grazed him barely, and so they're like, call stands.
Oh, my God. That's going to make me more angry then.
By the way, the challenge system in the NBA is ridiculous. Like, if you succeed in a challenge – not this one, but like the Warriors succeeded in a challenge.
Yeah, you texted me about this.
Why do you not get another challenge? What's the point of this?
Yeah.
You made a mistake. I pointed out your mistake, and now I'm done with my challenges?
Yeah, I think it's the NBA. Look, they're trying to – the NFL became so popular with the challenges, right? Or the challenge became so popular with the NFL. The NBA wanted to institute that into the game, but they didn't want to have their games turn into 3 hours with coaches challenging everything with how many calls there are in an NBA game. So it's basically turned into, if you win the challenge, you get your timeout back, which is obviously huge in the NBA, but you're right. If you're doing this the right way, if you keep blowing a call and I'm calling you out on it, eventually I run out of challenges? What?
Yeah, like the system isn't about me and challenges. The system is about how many times you mess up and then I have to catch your mistakes. One other note before we get to Kelly's thoughts on football. Loyola Marymount beat Gonzaga last night at Gonzaga. It's not quite. It wasn't quite UCLA winning 88 in a row until Elvin Hayes and Houston beat him in 1974.
Dang close, though.
But this was 76 at home in the West Coast Conference. Not exactly the same thing. but still, 76 in a row is 76 in a row. And Loyola Marymount beats Gonzaga 68-67, snapping the 76-game home winning streak for the Zags. Man. All right, Kelly. Do you have any different position on any of these games?
No. I mean, we have talked it earlier in the week.
Not at all.
I still have some bets I might make. The only bet I've made to this point is a Chiefs-Bengals teaser that I basically made on the opener. So I guess this Chiefs number is now out of that range, but the Bengals number, you know, you got a lot better than what I got. I saw 4.5 and jumped right away. So that's the one I made.
On guessing lines, I guessed 2.5 on that game.
Yeah. No, I hear you, man. I hear you. It's. I think that's the one I'm, even though I'm tied into it, I'm still maybe the most nervous of. I feel like everybody's kind of making excuses for how the Bengals are going to get it done with, I think the Bills are still a really, really good team. I like teasing it because I'm not positive the Bengals are going to win this game straight up. I could see the Bills winning this game and the points coming into play. So I love the idea of catching over 10 with the Bengals because I do think it's at least going to be close if they don't win. So I'm on that side. Look, I think the Chiefs, this is a pretty big teaser play for me. The Chiefs, I might find even other ways to play this week. I think the Jags... I think there's different ways. We brought this up earlier in the week. There's different ways to look at what the Jags have done over the past couple weeks. The way I view it is this is a good team. Trevor Lawrence has been awesome, but they have escaped 2 games, 2 weeks in a row.
Total escapes.
In you know, fairly lucky fashion. I think they're about to walk into a buzzsaw in Kansas City with a team that is extremely talented, has the best quarterback in the league, and has had a week off. I think this is going to be like Eric Eager said. I think this is going to end up being an extremely boring game to watch because the Chiefs take care of business easily.
And as Chernoff said yesterday, Adam Chernoff said on the Megapod yesterday, which again at the Beating the Book podcast feed, he said, you know, what do the Jags do poorly? Well, they don't cover running backs particularly well. They don't cover tight ends particularly well. That's Jared McKinnon and Travis Kelce who were pretty good last time I checked. So. Yeah, yes, there is the spin on the Jaguars of, oh my God, look how resilient they are week after week coming back. No lead is too big for them. You're right. It's a great story. And Doug Peterson did a great job.
It's awesome. I don't want to take anything away from him, right?
But
this is a lot more to ask.
Yeah, you keep doing that. Eventually, You don't do that against the Chiefs.
The Chargers chargered, and like you beat a Titans team.
Yeah.
Like, cool. Good. You know what I mean? I don't. You do this, and then I'll start getting really impressed, right?
Yeah.
Then I'll be really impressed. I have a feeling what I'm going to do with the other two, Gil, is just do a much smaller play. This is a pretty big teaser play for me. I think what I'm going to do is actually just do a money line parlay with the Eagles and Niners. I like the Niners side.
Hmm.
I don't like the idea of laying more than 3 points with them. I do think that the Cowboys could make this close at the end. I do like that side. Might just be a smaller play for me on this. And I do think there are still some questions about Jalen Hurts and his shoulder. This is a divisional game. I don't know. Funky things can happen, I think, when teams know each other better than you know, teams that are not in the same division, right? So that's my only hesitation there.
Did you make any of those exacta bets we talked about?
No, I didn't.
I didn't either.
I didn't only because, you know, like we talked about yesterday, right? I think you got to kind of like the Bengals or the Cowboys that much to really get some really good value out of it.
Oh, totally. If you don't, then there's no point.
I love the Bengals, but I think it's asking them a lot to go to Buffalo and then to Kansas City, right, and win those two games and get to a Super Bowl.
These are at DraftKings, which we couldn't bet anyway, but 25-1 on the Niners over the Bengals, the Eagles over the Bengals, all kinds of Bengals combinations, and all kinds of Cowboys combinations, as you point out.
Two NBA plays tonight. I have not made yet,
mm-hmm.
Gil, but I will be keeping an eye on Miami and Dallas and Orlando hosting New Orleans, waiting on injury reports for both of those teams. But huge, huge rest advantage for the Orlando Magic in that game. And Miami been playing real hot recently. Might be an all-Florida NBA Friday night for me.
I like these games way too much. Matt Brown later on the NFL and Adam Burke as well. Paul Carr with Premier League picks next. Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Before you make your next bet, be sure to visit VSiN.com to check the current betting splits data.
Split bets.
Want to know where the money and bets are moving every game? Well, the betting splits page is updated with DraftKings odds every 10 minutes, so you can see changes in all the action. Find out where the public is betting based on the number of tickets and where the money does not match the public opinion. You can check out not just today's action, but future events as well. Betting splits, yet another way. Too many to count. But VSiN is here to make you a smarter, better year-round. Check out today's betting splits for every game at VSiN.com. Matt Brown to join us, talking football later. Adam Burke in studio, looking forward to it. Football, football, football. But the global football is here as well. Paul Carr to discuss the Premier League. He comes to us from True Media Networks and, of course, the Expected Value podcast, currently in Atlanta, Georgia, covering women's soccer. How you doing, Paul?
I'm good. It's a beautiful day in Atlanta. It's always fun covering international soccer. Work with the new TV crew. Things are going well.
Yeah. Yeah, you don't have to brag or anything, Paul.
Yeah.
Just kidding. By the way, it's Paul Carr, everybody. Looking great in different, not in Topeka, Kansas, different setting right there. So let's talk real quick NFL before we get into Premier League. What do you like best this weekend?
I mean, if I'm picking a side, the first side I'm taking is the Bengals to cover. I mean, I got it at 6 early. Just because that game to me is the closest thing to a toss-up. Like, you go through all the different options of what could happen. Like, if the Bengals win that one relatively handily, is that a shock? Not really.
Nope.
If the Bills win it relatively handily, that's not a huge shock either. The others, like, you know, if the Cowboys or Jags or Giants, you know, pull out the upset, I think that's a legit decent-sized upset. The Bengals-Bills is just the most even and the most variety in the possible outcomes there.
Yeah, I agree with you wholeheartedly. And every other human
we're
being.
Doomed.
Yes, we're so doomed. It's not even funny. All right, Premier League. Arsenal is now your betting favorite to win it all, huh?
Wild. First time this season that Man City is not the betting favorite. I mean, really almost first time in a couple years. And yeah, City has stumbled. Yesterday, City was down 2-0 to Tottenham at halftime, and the Arsenal line was like minus 150 to win the title. If you had a market that would update live during games. But City came back to win that. And so now Arsenal's just a little favorite, minus 110, minus 120 in that range. They're up 5 points. They have a game in hand on City. I'm not rushing to play either team now. I have an Arsenal plus 250 ticket in hand from a few weeks ago. But these two teams still have to play twice. So this could obviously go either way really fast because they got two 6-point games essentially over the course of the season. So it should be a fun title race.
You know what I have access to? Your season preview picks here. Is this what I found from this? It's funny because on my computer, I'd like these random windows still up. And I'm like, is this Paul Carr's thing? So you had City, before the year, right? To win it all?
I think so, given the prices picking between the top two.
Yeah, minus 165.
Like minus one, yeah.
And then you had Liverpool as another short shot to win it all.
Liverpool my Liverpool top four play doesn't look very good right now.
Yeah, I mean,
But the Arsenal one does.
The Arsenal one does. Yeah. So, boy, this is interesting because right now, again, Arsenal with a 5-point lead. We are not quite at the halfway point of the season, but we're one game shy of being halfway. Yeah. They have a 5-point lead over Man City. Arsenal does 47 points to 42 points. Wow. Man U sort of knocking at the door with Newcastle and Tottenham.
Yeah. Arsenal's been, I mean, before the season, we talked about this last few years. It's City and Liverpool are your two favorites. And then there's, you know, three, four teams. And the question is always, can one of those teams break into the top two? I've been skeptical the last few years just because you really need three things to go your way. You need City and Liverpool to underachieve, which both have done so far this year. And your Arsenal or United or Chelsea or whatever team has to improve a lot and or overachieve. And Arsenal's improved a lot. They're not really overachieving. I mean, City is slightly better with all your underlying metrics right now, but Arsenal has 5 points plus a game in hand. So they are justifiably a betting favorite at the halfway point.
How'd you do last week? How'd the three-pack go?
Ooh, didn't go well last week.
Didn't go well.
Put up the bagel.
It was 3-0 the week before, 0-3 last week. All right, let's see if we can't go back to the 3-0. You got three. On Saturday. What do you got?
Starting Saturday with Liverpool and Chelsea. Again, two teams most expected to be in the top four before the season, and it's looking like neither one will make it. I think we get goals in this one. Both teams' defenses are not great. They give up two of the four best opponent shots so far this season, meaning their opponents are getting in great positions and putting in good shots, high shot quality. So neither defense is very good. Liverpool's attack has really been fine. It's their defense that's been the problem, and Chelsea's attack has been okay. You know, they're kind of a bit of a rotating cast trying to figure out who can help Kai Havertz up top, but their attack's still generating enough chances on the whole. So I think this one's going to be wide open. I like over 3.5 goals, plus 175. So you get a decent price on that. You go over 2.5, you're going to have to pay a lot of juice. So I'm going over 3.5 at plus 175.
I lied. I said two on Saturday. It's actually one on Saturday, one on Sunday, one on Monday. Arsenal is involved in your Sunday play.
Yeah, this the big game, again, of this weekend and just about any season is Arsenal, Manchester United. I like Arsenal to win this one. Minus 110 is the price I got. It's probably around minus 115 or so, which I think is still okay. Now, United's the only team to beat Arsenal this season. One of their issues that they're going to have to deal with here is they don't have Casemiro, who's their midfielder. He's kind of their destroyer. He just controls that whole midfield. And Arsenal's going to have, you know, 60%+ of the ball. And Manchester United is really going to miss Casemiro. He leads the team in tackles. He leads the team in interceptions. And again, just patrols that midfield. Arsenal's playing well. Everything's kind of clicking for them right now. I think they, at home, get the win here at minus 110.
You know what your best pick was from before the season?
Southampton to get relegated?
Yes, 3-1. And they are dead last.
Yeah, the relegation battle is going to be great because there are, I think it's 6 or 7 teams within like 2 points of the basement right now. This could be bloody.
Could be bloody. All right, what's Monday? I interrupted you. I'm sorry.
No, all good. Monday, Fulham and Tottenham. The best like single bet, if you bet every week this year, is probably Fulham games over 2.5 goals. They've hit in 16 out of 20 games, and that's what I'm doing here. Over 2.5, I got a minus 125. I played a little bit worse. Again, Fulham is newly promoted. They've been yo-yoing up and down for the last several years, but now they're in sixth place, which is running hot a little bit. But point is they're in a decent spot where they're not going to get conservative now and try to scrape out points to stay out of the relegation battle. They're in good shape. So I think they'll continue to attack. The defense hasn't been great, giving up really good shots to opponents all season. Some of the most expected goals in the league. And their games on the whole, 3.2 expected goals per game. So over 2.5, minus 125. Tottenham obviously has Harry Kane and company. They've got the weapons to put in a goal or two. So I think we get some goals here.
Kane, I haven't been following the golden boot. Does he have a shot at all?
Erling Haaland is on a different planet.
Yeah.
And so he's at 22, I think, after yesterday at the halfway point. and the single season record is 34.
So no. So
the answer to, if you're not Holland, the answer is no. You have no shot.
That was one of your preseason picks as well on that. So Saturday, it's Liverpool-Chelsea over 3.5 goals, and that's with big plus money going with a lot of goals in that game from Paulie. Sunday, Arsenal over Man U, and then Monday, the Fulham-Tottenham over 2.5. Paul, thank you as always. Enjoy Atlanta.
I will. Have a good weekend.
Paul Carr, moonlighting with Turner Sports over there. In addition to the Expected Value podcast, you can follow him on Twitter, at Paul Carr, C-A-R-R. And Kelly, and just sort of the effort of, again, touching on every little possible note of all of these divisional round playoff games, we've brought this up this week, but I don't know that we've really hammered it home, is this notion that this Bengals-Bills game is in Buffalo. And it's an awkward conversation to have because obviously DeMar Hamlin literally almost died on a football field. So we were all absolutely sympathetic to that game being stopped. There's no way they should have continued playing it. No one is disputing that. And thank God DeMar Hamlin is going to be okay. Slow road to recovery, but we couldn't have asked for a better outcome to this point. But the Bills have this at home. And forgetting the fact that the Bengals were up 7-3 and driving in the second quarter, who knows how that game would have turned out. But before that football game began, the Bengals controlled their own destiny.
Right.
And so, at least in terms of, you know, certainly the home situation of this football game, let's say. And so while the Bengals made a noise about the situation regarding them vis-a-vis the Ravens in the AFC North specifically, they didn't make as much noise about the sight of this game were it to happen between the Bengals and the Bills. And so this is, I guess my question is, if the Bengals lose this game, I know it'll linger with their fans and their betting backers. Will it with you as a football fan?
No.
Quick no.
No, I get all of it. I of course I get from the Bengals' perspective why this is unfair. But we knew it. I mean, when we were sitting here doing the show 18 hours after the DeMar Hamlin incident. None of us cared about that, and we kind of knew when later that week we started hearing these scenarios, you knew one team was going to get hosed, okay? And it was there's no way it was going to work out perfectly for everybody. And it stinks, but it's a situation that, look, what are you supposed to – what were they supposed to do? Nobody, I haven't heard a better answer than what the NFL actually came up with.
You said it right there.
I think they did a pretty good job.
There was
they,
no way someone wasn't going to get scared.
Exactly. And it sucks. If you're a Bengals backer, a Bengals fan, it sucks. I hear you.
Are you more annoyed by this being in Buffalo? We don't know. Bills could have won that game. Or by the fact that it's a neutral site next week if it's the Chiefs and the Bills, and that neutral site is Atlanta.
They already sold 50,000 tickets for it.
Of course they did.
Yeah.
You know what? Because it's the NFL.
Yeah. No, I don't mind that being a neutral site. Expect more of them to come in years to come.
Matt Brown, ladies and gentlemen, for the final countdown. His football thoughts next. Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
If you're looking for a betting edge on football's big game, the VSiN experts have got you covered. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber with an introductory offer of only $9.99. VSiN Pro subscribers get access to our daily recap of the top plays made by VSiN show hosts and guests, tools like our betting splits that let you see where the money and bets are moving every game, deep dive betting reports, VSiN betting guides for the biggest games of the season where our experts break down brackets, best bets, and all the big game props. Don't miss out on this limited time offer. Visit VSiN.com/subscribe today to sign up for only $9.99 and become part of the Sports Betting Network. That's VSiN.com/subscribe. Sweet Lou Finicaro just did a drive-by in the studio and said, Cowboys, and then walked out of here.
Love it.
He's banned for life.
I mean, I don't love that bet, but I love Lou. Love Lou.
That was uncalled for.
And Lou, what the heck are you doing here at 8:30 in the morning at the South Point?
I don't know.
I'm so confused by some people at the South Point. There's a couple outside playing cards. Just, I don't know, like Gin Rummy or something.
Gin Rummy. We get tweets at Beanie the Book Spiderweb. Should I buy out of my Popperin bet? Oppo from the one guy you would make you would take a bet from? Nah, I'm riding with Gilly. Thank you, Brad. Appreciate it. This is from New York Mess 16. I know you get most of Gil's thoughts every day, but the Megapod this week was phenomenal. Talking Tuchus Bush over under on Tom Brady mentions of Tuchus and Adam Chernoff quietly dropping one-liners. Awesome as always. Thank you for that review. Tuchus Bush, meaning the running backs pushing the quarterback on the sneaks, for those who don't know. David Dudley, that Al Horford call was atrocious. mostly because I had Celtics minus 5.5. This is why the NBA is the ultimate plinko, as you mentioned on the show on Wednesday.
Yeah, I feel you, David. But we shouldn't have had a chance to begin with, probably. So, yeah. You know.
Game time, Jones. Missed the first hour and sounds like most of the tennis talk. Iga plus 160, a good number at this point? Well, yeah. I mean, look, you know how I feel about Iga.
He said he's betting against her every round for the rest of the tournament.
Whatever Kelly said, the opposite, as you know. She's going to be the greatest of all time. Let's see here. One more before we go to Mateo. Let's see. Nice call on Lehechka Nori sailing over the posted total. Stuff some Benjis in my pocket. I think he means Benjamins. And then Rick Olier. Yo, Gilly, what do we know about the dude who beat Medvedev? You're talking about Sebastian Korda. Worth a futures bet in any of those majors?
I know he's got two sisters that are pretty good at golf.
Yes, they are. Also, Kelly, since Gil's paying, I'm thinking sushi sounds delicious tonight. Make him pick, though. I heard he knows a place. Prime time action dinner where I pay my golf, my season-long one-and-done bet that I lost. I finished third in. And so my dinner partners that I'm paying for are Kelly Bidlin and Matt Brown, ladies and gentlemen, from Prime Time Action, who has picked the spot, undisclosed location. How you doing, Mateo?
I'm doing well. I am doing well. We are, Kelly and I did some back and forth trying to figure out, you know, where we could get the most damage towards you. And we found out that, you know, it seems like cut will be a good one. You know,
An undisclosed location. There you go.
Yeah, yes. No longer, I guess. Three words, surf and turf.
Ugh, paparazzi is showing up there.
Double the surf, and we're going to double the turf and all the things like that.
I'm not worried about that. I'm worried about the alcohol. That's what I'm worried
about. I'm going to be like, excuse me, do you do that thing where you drop gold flakes on the top of my steak that I can't taste that are just there for decoration?
Yeah. No, we'll settle this on air right now. Matt and I aren't going to make you pay for the booze.
No.
Yeah, you don't come have to on. Pay for the booze. Yeah, you don't make a person that doesn't drink pay for the booze.
Yes. No.
A bet's a bet, man.
No. We got to get another
one
going.
You ever seen the tabs when Matt and I drink?
Yeah, never mind.
We got to get another one going.
Now that you mention it.
We got to get another one going, Kelly. Like, we got to get we'll do a cross show one and things and stuff like that and whatever.
Could you kick a field goal before you start making other bets? Could you do that first?
Well, I got a mayonnaise bet coming a little later today on our show. So,
are you serious?
Yeah.
Oh, I am so tuning in.
Who got you to eat mayonnaise? You were so disgusted by that.
I might not have to. Stormy and I are each going to do, kind of like we used to do with the golf drafts. We each have $500. We have to spend it on the four NFL games this week. Loser on Monday. I either have to eat a couple of packets of mayonnaise from the deli behind you guys out there.
Oh, God.
And Stormy apparently hates anything and everything fish / seafood. And so since we have that oyster bar right out there as well, she's going to have to down a couple oysters if she loses.
Okay, I am so team Stormy on this. I want you to have to eat the mayonnaise. All right.
It's going to be good.
Divisional round. That's Monday. By the way, Monday on Final Countdown, Matt eats mayonnaise. That's our promo. They should do that. They should run that during the commercials. If you missed Final Countdown, here's what you missed. All right, what do you like best? Let's go through these one by one. Yeah. Game one, Jacksonville, Kansas City. What do you have there, if anything?
Yeah, so I've got the Saturday teaser, I think, that everybody has this week. And it was one of the first, it was one of the first bets I put in my account, and I feel really good about it, man. You look, and I think what the Jags have done is certainly, I think this is the team that it's going to be my new Vikings, right? Like, I was looking for the Vikings this year, coming into the season, divisional, win totals, et cetera, et cetera. Like, any way that I could get exposure to the Vikings, because I thought that division was up for grabs. I think I'm going to do the same for the Jags next year. It's like, I've been saying, just because it's one of those out of sight, out of mind things where I've been preaching for the last 2 months. I'm like, you know, if they can just get a number one receiver, like a true number one receiver in there for Trevor Lawrence, then like, this team can really be it. They traded for Calvin Ridley. I forgot that they traded for Calvin Ridley. And like, so they have the guy. Like, he's going to be coming in next year already. So, like, I think this Jags team futures and stuff next year, he's not even coming back from an injury, right? He's coming back from a 17 parlay. So, like, we're going to have a good foundation there for this offense to be good next year. But I think the luck runs out for this team. They've been kind of skating on thin ice as it is anyway. They've trailed by four or more points on over half of their plays since week 10, like 51% of their plays, they've been down 4 more points. So you live that dangerously. I think that it's going to be one of those deals where it ends up catching up with you. And the Chiefs coming off of a bye, I think this is where it finally does catch up with them here. So getting the Chiefs under a field goal was one of the first things I did. And then kind of just pairing that up with the Eagles as well, right? I mean, the Eagles down to a point and a half. If you kind of look at the comps in the game, we know the Giants were playing the B team in week 18. And then you go back to that week 14 game. And now I don't want everybody to think this is going to be just an incredible blowout. I think Daboll and company are certainly going to keep this thing kind of froggy. You look at that week 14 game, no Leonard Williams, no Adoree Jackson, no Xavier McKinney, all in defense for the Giants. So they're certainly going to be much, much stronger on that side of the ball. But end of the day, they're the most blitz-heavy team in the NFL. Wink Martindale certainly did adjust his strategy last week a little bit, but they're going to blitz. Hurts is going to take off running. Hurts is going to have a big day on the ground. I think he's fine. I think he's healthy. They had the option, guys, on Tuesday when they put out this initial injury report to list him as limited just because. And he was completely removed from the injury report, even that first one that they had to put out on Tuesday. So I think he's good to go here. I think that he has a big day against the Giants, and I think they keep it closer than maybe we all think, but under a point and a half is a good bet, I think.
We need to play these two Saturday games particularly like already to find out if this parlay hits, because if it does not, boy, the books are going to make out.
You know what, Gil? Yeah. Thanks for bringing up. Good call. We're going to dinner tonight and not, you know, Saturday and then tomorrow night or anything. Yeah, let's get that out of the way.
We'll all be in a good mood.
But, can you imagine us all just sitting around the table on Saturday night? Like, looking up like we're trying to have fun and tell stories, and instead we're just going, how in the hell did they not cover the 2.5? You know, like all we're doing is like screaming at the table.
How did the Jags win? Yeah. By the way, the Calvin Ridley things, you know, in injury reports where they said player A, knee, player B in parentheses, groin. If Calvin Ridley's was in parentheses 17 parlay.
I mean, if I were him at this point, I'd be laughing at the fact that he has the most famous legal sports bet in Florida history and might forever.
Because he managed to squeeze it in when it happened and went by the name, wait for it, Calvin Ridley. All right. And then you like the two games I like as well. The line moves that went against us peculiarly. You like the Bengals and the Niners.
I mean, listen, it's 5.5 rest of country, and right out there behind y'all on Monday, it was sitting. It was the rogue six in the whole world. I mean, there were still 4.5s at that point. So I literally did the thing we used to do. I ran out of the studio and I went and made a bet out there behind y'all because I didn't think that this was going to last. I mean, listen, guys, Josh Allen, 2 interceptions, 3 fumbles last week. This offensive line allowed pressure on 32% of his dropbacks. And he took 7 sacks, and this is the Dolphins defense. This is a much better defense that you're getting in Cincinnati here. I think that there's a real concern with Josh Allen being reckless and careless with the ball, and Cincinnati is much more equipped to take advantage of that than even the Miami Dolphins are. I think they're live to win this thing outright, to be perfectly honest. Like I think they're live to win this thing outright. I might even get a sprinkle. And then, yeah, the 3.5 here on the 49ers, look, Cowboys up and down all season long. Now you get this defense that is number one in basically every single statistical category that there is out there. This whole rest situation, y'all know I don't buy into that a ton, but 49ers played on Saturday afternoon and then stayed at home. Then the Cowboys had to fly to Tampa, play on Monday night, and then fly across the country to play on Sunday afternoon.
It's brutal.
Over in San Francisco. Like that is significant, right? Yeah. I mean, that is a significant difference for these teams. And again, they continue to use Zeke, who, by the way, guys, Zeke's last 40 carries, 74 yards. He's got 74 yards on 40 carries, and they continue to give him the ball.
Where's Tony?
Jerry Jones is like, I'm going to make that contract worth it. Whatever I do.
Good luck.
Thank you, Matt. We'll see you tonight.
See y'all tonight.
Matt Brown, everybody. Final countdown. Got to tune in for that as well with a mayonnaise. Adam Burke in studio next. Numbers Game Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks, unleashing the spirit of Las Vegas with BetMGM Rewards. Every time you make a wager at BetMGM, you can earn BetMGM Rewards points that you can redeem for online bonus credits like free bets. It's never been easier to join the action on the new BetMGM app, featuring a fresh redesign with improved features and quicker navigation. And if you're planning a trip to Vegas, you can also convert your BetMGM points into MGM Rewards points that you can use towards dining, shows, and hotel rooms at over 20. MGM Resorts located on the Las Vegas Strip and nationwide. BetMGM Rewards, sports betting's premier loyalty program, including exclusive offers, incredible experiences, and valuable perks when you wager with BetMGM. Sign up with BetMGM or log in today to take advantage of BetMGM Rewards. Eligibility restrictions apply. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. As always, Skill Alexander, a pro tip of the hour, which we will get to here momentarily, has to do with, well,
just ad-libbing. I was in the middle of writing it. Just ad-lib it, and then I'll write it out.
You want me to save it for later? Do you want me to do that?
No, just do it right now. We're already talking about it. Now we're talking back and forth about it.
Yeah. So, basically, the whole deal with it is I was looking forward to season win totals coming out, and obviously they're not going to come out for a while, but we kind of already know that Minnesota's fraudulence, the Vikings' fraudulence, is going to be built in to whatever their season win totals are. There's nobody out there who's like, oh, I really think that 13-4 record was legit.
Even me.
But if you believe that it won't be built into, say, the Giants' season win total, again, the NFC East is going to be playing tougher competition in terms of what divisions they're scheduled against next year. And if you're like me, someone who believes that really the Giants got the best of it, and even though they will have a step up in talent, how could they not into next year, that it will be too big of a line, too high of a line, maybe 8.5, maybe 9.5. Think about already exploiting stuff like that when they do come out. And under, for me, is what I'm looking at. Think about all those things when you're betting. Season win totals, of course, one of our favorite markets. And alt season win totals more than anything. My goodness, we can't stress that enough.
I think the in-season win totals, too.
In-season win totals,
I think they've become one of my favorite markets to bet in all of sports.
For years on the podcast and here on A Numbers Game, I talked about this off-the-grid stock market thing that I did.
Yeah.
And it was legitimately run by people who used to work at Lehman Brothers. And we would do buy and sells on football teams. And now it's all out in the open.
Mm-hmm.
Adjusted season win totals. So it's like it's a whole new world. And yes, Kelly's right. Absolutely great. Pro tip of the hour. One every hour at VSiN.com. That's at least 20 a day. Searchable at VSiN.com for pro subscribers only, however. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. Adam Burke, kind enough to join us in studio, which he tends to do on Fridays right before we leave here because he does a little Ohio thing here after the show with Jeff Parlay, I believe. How you doing, man?
I'm good. Do you have the denim jacket to go with the shirt? Do you have the Canadian tuxedo going on?
I do
on
not
there?
Have the Canadian tuxedo.
That's unfortunate. But by the way, speaking of whole new worlds, you talk about win totals. Major League Baseball, they go from 76 games against division opponents to 52 this year, play a lot more interleague games. So as you start digging into that market,
good call,
which is something that I'll be digging into here soon, keep that in mind for Major League Baseball. Big schedule changes for this year.
Repeat that again?
Yeah,
that's a dramatic change.
Yeah, so this year the schedule, 52 divisional games. It was 76 previously, so you used to play 19 against every team in your division. Now you play 13.
Which is too many. 19 was too many.
It's a lot. Yeah. But you think about the divisions that this will really hurt. The AL Central and the NL Central, which both aren't very good.
Yeah.
And now, teams like the Guardians and the White Sox and the Brewers and the Cardinals can't beat up on those lesser teams in their divisions.
Good call.
Now you play more interleague games. You go from 20 interleague games to 46 now. So a lot more playing teams that you're less familiar with and all that. So that's something that we're really going to have to dig into here. I know you and I are both big baseball guys.
It'll
so
rotate division versus division year by year,
I would imagine. You play everybody in the league.
Oh, everybody.
Everybody in the league. You play a home-and-home series against your geographic interleague rival, four games each series. So eight Yankees, Mets, Dodgers, Angels, stuff like that.
But every club will play every other team in the opposite league?
Yep, you play every team this year.
Let me ask you this. What was the thinking behind this? What did they think they were accomplishing with this?
Well, I think part of it is from a playoff seeding standpoint or from a wild card standpoint, if you're in a bad division, it's kind of easier for you to beat up on it, right?
Yeah.
If you're in a really good division, like say the American League East, something like that, you're playing 76 games against teams within your own division. There's no easy game in the AL East right now. Now it's a little bit more balanced where you do play some more of these interleague games and things like that.
Interesting.
Well, I have the answer to this question too, Mr. Alexander.
Yes, Mr. Bailey.
Mr. Alexander, please. Mm-hmm. It's because you play a bajillion games in a season. Yeah. You're telling me you can't play every team in the league? That's just dumb if you don't.
Well, you know what? It will lead to.
Thank you, Kelly.
Especially being out here in Vegas. It'll lead to more people complaining about all the blackouts for MLB.TV. because
Wait for that.
You'll be able to see a lot of those games and all that kind of thing.
Six teams. We're home here in Las Vegas. We're blacked out from six teams in Major League Baseball.
I remember the day I tried to watch a Guardians A's game.
Oh, good luck.
And I looked at like Google Maps and I'm like, Oakland is how far away and I can't watch this game?
There's so many examples like Rich Hill's throwing a no hitter in the ninth or the tenth against the Pirates. Oh, we can't watch that. That's our home team.
I get surprised about once a week when I'm like, ooh, the Kings are playing. Let me turn this game on. Oh, blacked out. But the Warriors are on.
How did you go to Rich Hill? Like, that guy throws five innings to start.
No, because I remember he was throwing a no-hitter into the ninth in a game, right. And I was like, how is this not on TV? I remember that specifically. Yeah. Adam Burke, ladies and gentlemen, one of the, if not the glue. What do we say? He's the glue and Wes Reynolds is the glue and Adam is the flex.
Yeah, he's the flex seal.
That holds this whole operation together here.
Still waiting on that NIL.
Yeah, me too.
Still waiting on that NIL. Football, your thoughts. What do you like best this weekend?
I think.
Please say something different than all of us.
I'll try.
We're all on the same games.
Well,
or the same sides.
I do like the Bengals plus 5.5 if that's the one that a lot of people are on. But my favorite play this week is actually Jags Chiefs under 53.
Oh, that's different.
There we go.
You know, look, I mean, last week you had the 31-30 game, right? So it was a little bit of a high scoring affair there between the Jaguars and the Chargers. But Trevor Lawrence threw four picks. The Chargers had two touchdown drives in the first half under 20 yards. They had a field goal drive of 1 yard. So those were 17 really easy points for them to get. And the Jags, as you start playing catch-up in the second half, you're playing, a skeleton defense, trying to keep everything in front of them, which obviously the Chargers failed to do. Then you look at the first game between Kansas City and Jacksonville, 27-17. Kansas City had almost 500 yards of offense in that game, only scored 27 points, had three turnovers themselves. Jacksonville couldn't move the ball. And also, when you've got Andy Reid and Doug Peterson, two guys that know each other very intimately inside and out in terms of their offensive philosophies, I think that should tighten up the game a little bit. So under 53 for me and Jags Chiefs.
Okay. I like that thinking.
Eager liked that one too, right?
Eric Eager liked that as well. Yeah.
I saw John Goulet with a fist pump when I said under 53, so maybe he's on that one too.
Well, maybe Goulet is financially invested in said
bet. I hear his big thing is just betting unders on the Jags every week.
That's his thing.
Yeah. He's been doing it for years.
All right, and so you like the Bengals. You like the under in the Chiefs-Jags game.
Yeah, I mean, for the Bengals, I understand the offensive line concerns, right? I mean, those are very much priced into this line. But if anybody in the NFL has been good behind a bad offensive line,
it's him.
It's Joe Burrow.
Yes.
So I don't know if they win the game, but getting 5.5, I think, is just a little bit too big. The only other thing I really had is, I think from a prop betting standpoint in Giants and Eagles, when you look at the Giants and the game that they played last week, phenomenal on offense, no doubt about that. On defense, there was one guy they had no answer for. It was TJ Hockenson. I think Dallas Goedert is a guy that has a really big game for the Eagles here this week. Receptions prop is 4.5, receiving yards 48.5. I think he goes over both of those, to be honest with you. I just feel like that's the one loophole, I think, in the Giants' defense. They can't stop tight ends. They have a lot of issues with that. And I don't think they stopped the tight end here in this week's game.
The TJ Hockenson thing is one of these, stories within the NFL season that we touched upon, but maybe not enough, where the Lions trade him to a division, The Lions trade him to their division rival, the Vikings. The Lions still are really, really good on offense, but yet they traded him to a division rival, right? Who, it's just a fascinating thing with this, with Hockenson this year.
It is. And I mean, you look at Ben Johnson and kind of the impression of him around the league, and you think, okay, if this guy didn't think the offense needed Hockenson, like, as crazy as it sounds, I have to give him the benefit of the doubt because of what the Lions did in the second half of the year. I wish they would have made the playoffs. But now that he's back, I mean, I don't know what their NFC North price looks like going into next season, but I mean, there's no team in a better situation than them.
Easily a top 10 team by the end of the year.
Yeah.
Some people had them sixth.
Right. Well, and that's the thing with the Jaguars too, right? I mean, I'm kind of leaning towards the Jags covering the spread because when you look at some of their advanced metrics throughout the year, they were a borderline top 10 team. They just weren't winning games. And then late in the year, Trevor Lawrence really took great care of the football. They got a lot better at that. So I'm kind of starting to talk myself into taking them, getting the big number there in that game.
Kelly, should we review all our bets?
Let's do it.
Why don't we do that real quick again? Tennis today. I'm on Alexei Popperin. I am on Magda Linette. Kelly has a couple of basketball bets. What were those, Kelly, real quick again?
Haven't bet them yet, but looking at Magic and Heat, waiting for injury reports there.
Okay, and then here are our football bets. I bet the Niners. I bought it down to 3. I bet the Bengals plus the 5.5. And I bet the Chiefs minus 8. And I also have the teaser that every other human being on Earth has, the Chiefs and the Eagles. Kelly?
Yeah, only one teaser for me so far. It is the Chiefs and the Bengals. Pretty big I made on the opener. But I might mess around and do something with the Eagles and the Niners before it's all said and done.
Good luck, everybody, with all your bets this weekend. Again, the Megapod on the Beating the Book podcast. We deep dive on all of it with Adam Chernoff as well. Adam Burke, thank you, sir.
Good to be here.
As always. Good luck with all your bets this weekend. Enjoy the football weekend. I'll be on with Brent tomorrow. Brent Musburger. Enjoy from VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.